If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
Welcome to The Tool Shed, a podcast covering all levels of professional baseball to help give you the edge in your dynasty leagues. From the MLB draft all the way to the show, The Tool Shed podcast has you covered with rankings, player analysis, and in-depth discussion. And now, here's your host, Eric Cross.
What's up, everyone? Welcome into another episode of the Tool Shed Podcast, brought to you by Rotoballer. This is episode 437. Thank you for joining me. I'm your host, Eric Cross. You can find me on Twitter at EricCrossMLB, and the show is at Tool Shed Pod. Continuing the outfield position in this episode, going over our outfield dynasty ranks, and I have a great guest with me from Prospects Live and the MLB Data Warehouse. He is Doc Eisenhower, one of the best-looking profile pictures in the game. Doc, how's it going, man?
Thanks, man. Yeah, I look great for my age. You know, 1851.
Yeah, you do, man.
My birth. I actually just came from Tombstone. It's crazy. I started it off as a LARP because I played Doc Holliday in like this $100,000 little budget movie. I'll have to put some clips together, put that out this season. But yeah, man, good to be back. My mom, it's my birthday, so I was out there on a birthday trip. My mom bought me this slick Puma gear. I look like I'm from Bulgaria, ready to roll.
It's your birthday today?
It was my birthday 1 week ago, so it was like my birthday week. I went out to the
West. Oh, nice. Happy belated birthday.
Thank you. I abandoned my wife and kids. Just like went rogue. There's just more to it than that. It's for work, but yeah. Yeah, man, feeling pretty good about it, though. It's been a little while, so good to be back and hanging with you.
Yeah, good to talk with you, man. You know, baseball is, you know, heating up here. And especially once we get past that that big old football game that's coming up this upcoming weekend, it'll fully be, we'll have all the football people back over here to baseball. Love it. But, you know, in the dynasty world, we never sleep. We got off-season FYPDs, off-season trades, a lot of fun stuff. And then we can do episodes like this going through dynasty rankings. We'll go through our top 30, and we'll break it down into three sections of 10 here, talk some intriguing players in each section. But started off here with our top 10. So, Doc, who are your top 10 dynasty outfielders right now?
You want me to go number 1 to 10 that way?
Yes. Yeah, let's go 1 to 10.
All right, let's do it, baby. We got Juan Soto, man. I still couldn't believe like how many bases he stole out of nowhere. So
it's crazy. His
speed is still like nothing. Just pure technician. But what a guy. Corbin Carroll, Aaron Judge, Ronald Acuña, Julio Rodriguez, Fernando Tatis, Wyatt Langford, Kyle Tucker, Roman Anthony, and yeah, it sounds crazy when you have him at the end of the top 10 after all those names. Max Clark.
I love it. I'm a big Clark guy. So yeah, I definitely want to get your thoughts here on Clark in a minute. Yeah, but Juan Soto does what Juan Soto wants. That's, you know, and it's great that he did that as like a 45-year-old, because everyone's like convinced he's like 45 years old or something like that. So for a 45-year-old to steal 37, 39, whatever it was, bags, that's pretty damn good. But that was so weird. Like him and Josh Naylor are just going gangbusters on the base pass. So this is like, who would have thought those guys would be like two of the league leaders in steals? Not me.
Yeah, but I don't know if I believe it's going to happen again. But if anyone's going to do it again, it's Juan Soto.
Nuts. Right. I mean, that's why baseball is unpredictable. I love it. But my top 10 here, I also start with Juan Soto and Corbin Carroll in the top two spots. Then I get the two juniors, Ronald Acuña Jr., Fernando Tatis Jr., 3-4, Julio Rodriguez, 5, Roman Anthony, 6, James Wood, 7, Kyle Tucker, 8, Aaron Judge, 9, and I also have Wyatt Langford in the 10 spots. Out of this top 10, though, Doc, the one that's I'm having a hard time keeping top 10, but I have a hard time dropping him out of the top 10 as well. It might sound weird, but I think it makes sense once you think about it. Ronald Acuña Jr. And I had a tweet the other day that he's kind of like one of the, you know, the top 10 picks in redraft that I'm kind of avoiding. You know, we know he can be the number one player of fantasy. He's been that, you know, once or twice. He had those two huge seasons in 2019 and 2023. He went 41-37 back in 2019, 41-73 back in 2023. But he also has two torn ACLs, and he's only played 120 games in those two seasons. So a lot of risk, you know, one of the biggest risk reward guys in all of baseball, not just at this outfield spot. So is it hard for you to keep him in the top 10 at this point, or do you still see those two seasons, know what the upside is, and just is it easy to keep him in the top 10 for you?
Yeah, it's easy. I got him comfortably up there at number four, but it's out of respect for what we know he has done and can continue to do. If he was in his 30s, you know, 32, 33 here, you know, it's more concerning if he's like, you know, in this Trout era of repeated injuries. I don't know, man. Well, we're going to find out. He's going to be, you know, further away from the knee injuries. It's not like he stopped running completely. Obviously, last year it was way down. But I don't think 73 is in play. I think that's going to be his peak season. But frankly, he doesn't need to do that. He needs to stick around and get healthy enough to do 30 to 40 home runs, have really great ratios. Like, this guy could go, you know, he went 290 last year, 290 with 417 OBP. So it's like everything else is still there, like, to be a really good bat. Like, let's just take the stolen bags out of it. He goes 30 plus home runs with those ratios. Like, that's still in there. You're still in the top 10. And then if you steal 20 bags, even on top of that, just a really great profile. And I think these other guys, there's a batch of guys I have below him who are like 20, maybe even 20, 30 kind of guys, or 30, 20 kind of guys. And I just, they've never shown the ceiling that Acuna has. So I'm granting him this year. Now, if he misses a chunk of time again, like under 100 games played, then it's a feature and not a bug.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. And I think the one point in there you made that I've been sticking with is that nobody's really, you know, that's right below him, the next, you know, several names, have shown that they're, you know, worthy of being ranked above him. I mean, there's obviously some phenomenal players, but, like, you know, Julio Rodriguez has been pretty good, but, you know, I'd still take Acuna over him. Tatis himself has had some injuries and some time missed. You know, obviously we know the suspension and all this and that. You know, Roman Anthony, phenomenal talent, but he hasn't proven that he should be up above Acuna yet. You know, same with, like, James Wood. Kyle Tucker is a little bit older. You know, Langford and Chirio haven't fully gotten there yet, though they've had some good seasons. So, yeah, I mean, I think that's kind of why I still have him as my number three guy here and number seven in my overall rankings. But at the same time, while I still rank him high, I'm not sure. I'd feel a little hesitant to, you know, if I didn't have him right now, to, like, make a big offer for Acuna, just given the risk. Yeah. But again, like we both said, like, the upside is phenomenal. And he could still go 40-30 this year, and it wouldn't surprise me. But the fact that those two torn ACLs, I mean, I'm not a doctor. I don't know how predictive, you know, having one or even two torn ACLs is for having future injuries. I don't know, but I am concerned. But, man, he's so far. I hope, as a baseball fan, I hope he stays healthy, just because he's one of the most exciting players in the game, like, without question. So, but he is a tough one for sure. But let's go to a guy I just mentioned here, Roman Anthony, who I have already in my top 10. And people will say that's Red Sox bias, whatever. I don't care. I believe it. You know, just watching Roman Anthony play last year, I mean, the skills are there. I mean, it wasn't like super gaudy surface stats. You have 8 home runs, 4 steals, and 303 plate appearances. You know, but he did hit 292, 396 OBP with elite quality of contact, 15.5% barrel rate, 60% hard hit rate, 94.5 mile an hour average EV. You know, he walks a ton, scored a ton of runs. He had 48 runs scored. You know, so he's on pace for like 105, 110 runs. You know, so long term, you know, with Roman Anthony, former number one overall prospect, only 21 years old still, what do you think we were looking at here with Anthony? Like, what type of player do you think he becomes offensively here, Doc?
Yeah, I mean, I have him at number 9, and I don't really give a hoot about the Red Sox. You know, I'm sure they're it's obviously a historic franchise and all. I guess what really is not clear to me is how efficient he is with stealing bags. So That's the only concern with him. And I'm giving him the number nine rank due to age and just this unknown upside that it's not like we're totally gambling on. We've seen it. Like we saw him, you know, kind of break through just briefly, but we saw him break through at the major league level. And so I don't know how with the stolen bags, how I can project that, but he feels like a real 300, you know, 400, 500 guy, like the, you know, that kind of slash line in terms of batting average, OBP, slugging. That's amazing, right? If he's doing that anytime soon, like he was doing that over a not complete. Let's see this. Yeah, he had a 303 plate appearances. Like that's not nothing. It's not a full season, but it's incredibly impressive what he did as a 21-year-old. So eight home runs. It's like, okay, I think he's going to build on that. I think he gets up into the 30-plus home run range with just unbelievable. Like he's just going to be a really good pure hitter. But I have to ask, like, you know, what if he's just 10 stolen bases? Or less. Like, yep. What if that's just not a part of his game? So I think this might be where I have a number nine here. Maybe he's like, in terms of his profile, it's not exactly the same player comp, but I'm thinking, like, just looking at these names, I'm almost thinking like this different position too, but like a Freddie Freeman type where he's just your classic hitter. You know, he's just going to do it right. And so, yeah, the stolen bases are what probably keeps him from ever ascending to the tier above, which my ranks are really taking that into account, unless you're, you know, an Aaron Judge where you have like 60 home run power. But yeah, other than that, if you notice everyone above him on the list is a threat to steal 20 plus bags or be Aaron Judge.
Yeah. Yeah. That's where I'm at too with him. I think 30-10 is where I've always kind of felt like, you know, Roman Anthony would become, you know, a guy that's going to be on base a ton, scoring a ton of runs. You know, he'll probably be hitting first or second in that Red Sox lineup this year too. You know, contact, you know, people will point out the contact rates being, you know, not the greatest, you know, but, you know, similarly to, and they weren't like terrible either. They were just, you know, a bit below average, both in zone and overall, but it's kind of similar to like, you know, Rafael Devers and this other guys that, you know, hit the ball so hard when they do make contact and don't chase a lot. I mean, he had a 20% chase rate. That is very, very good. And I already mentioned, you know, the quality of contact. So, you know, and actually it's funny, like similar batters to him on quality of contact on Savant, or three of them are James Wood, Ronald Acuna, and Rafael Devers even. So, you know, when you don't chase a lot and do so much damage when you do make contact, I think you can still hit for a decent average while having below average contact rates. So, is he going to hit 300 plus? Maybe not. Maybe he's more like 280, 290, but still obviously very, very good. Super high OBP. And I do think he can get the 25, 30 home runs if he, you know, stops hitting so many ground balls. That's like the one area concern I have in terms of that. He had a 50.5% ground ball rate this past season, but we'll see. I mean, he's always made the adjustments. I've been obviously following his career very, very closely. Saw him a ton in AA or 2 years ago now in 2024. Saw him a lot over like a 4 month stretch where I saw those improvements being made. You know, he's a very smart player. So I have confidence he'll make those improvements and, you know, be a stud. But yeah, I don't think he's ever gonna be like a top five overall player, but yeah, I kind of like that Freddie Freeman, you know, name he threw out there where it's like, all right, maybe he just sticks as like a late first, early second rounder.
I love how you're just like such a jaded. You're so jaded by being a Red Sox fan or something like that. Like your expectations are too high. You're like, this guy just gave us a 3-4-5 debut as a 21-year-old in the MLB, and you're like, yeah. Hopefully we can answer the critics. Hopefully we can get over these problems he has.
Come on, man. Yeah, it's the life of a Red Sox fan these days. But yeah, Roman Anthony obviously deserves of being a top 10 dynasty outfielder. All right, another one who I thought would be, you know, a little bit higher in rankings by now. He's been good, but not like phenomenal yet. That's Wyatt Langford with the Texas Rangers. Had a 16 homer, 19 steal rookie year in 2024. Followed that up with a pretty similar slash line, average down a little bit, OBP up a little bit, but joined the 2020 club. Went 22 homers, 22 steals, 241, 344, 431 slash line. Now he's shown, you know, first round upside at time, you know, late 2024. Like he was one of the best guys in September, and he had those flashes last year as well, but it hasn't really put it together over a full season yet. It's only been two seasons, so, you know, he's still got plenty of time. But, Doc, do you think we see Wyatt Langford take that next step and become like truly, you know, one of the elite, you know, top 20 overall players in this game?
Yeah, man. I think that you and I have been Langford guys for a little while now. And, you know, it's funny. I'm almost like feeling a bit of fatigue myself. Like, just like, oh, you know, I almost wished there was more. But then, and like, I was ready to try to be, you know, neutral and just rank the way I want to rank, the way, you know, in terms of like what the viewers and the listeners need to hear, not the way I want it to be. And I looked at his numbers and I'm like, yeah, no, he's actually like doing great. Like 22-22 is a really good season. My biggest concern with him like actually right now is just staying healthy. He's not missing tons of games. He actually played the exact same amount of games, 134 the last two seasons each. But, you know, that's an improvement. That's an improvement, you know, 16 and 19 to 22 and 22. It's just not like the super sexy numbers of like 30-30, that like league winner kind of things. But as a 23-year-old, it's really good. And his numbers were pretty great too, you know. Batting average, okay, acceptable. But the OBP was 344. It's coming together. He's still just 24 years old. The future is bright for Wyatt Langford. Again, the Rangers have underperformed the last couple of years too. So if he can just stay healthy and keep building and improving, get that average up beyond 250, get that OBP in 350 or more, and maybe go 25-25. Maybe he gets up to 30-30. This could be like really just one of the best players in fantasy, and I think he's definitely a dynasty top 10.
Yeah, I still think that next step is there. I haven't really changed my long-term opinion on Wyatt Langford. And I was beating the, you know, you said you and I have been big Langford guys, beating that drum. I'm still beating that drum. I still think that next step is in there. I will say I don't love the home ballpark. You know, Globe Life Field is, you know, one of the more pitcher-friendly parks in baseball. So that's kind of a bummer. I'd love for him to be, you know, like at Philly or Colorado, and then not Colorado. It's funny. I don't want players to go to Colorado anymore. I've kind of gotten away from that just because their team is so bad and player development is so bad. But you get the picture. Like, I want him in a better ballpark, but at the same time, it's still a very good profile. I mean, he had an 80th percentile sprint speed. He's actually a pretty good outfielder as well defensively. That really matters for this conversation. But, you know, he walks a good bit. You know, doesn't chase much. He had an 80th percentile chase rate. You know, he's just, you know, above average to, you know, really plus quality of contact guy, 14% barrel rate, 48.5% hard hit rate. Just a lot of good there. And you know, the key rate did tick up a little bit, but I'm not like super concerned by that. He's never been a guy that has, you know, super high K rates in the past. So I'm not really concerned by that at all. And he hits the ball at ideal angles too. So, I think this year, 30-30, he stays healthy. I think 30-30 is coming for Langford. Well, I'm here. I'm ready for it. Fingers crossed he can just, you know, stay in the field 150 plus games and give us that 30-30 year.
It is funny. I want to say real quick, the counting numbers, like nobody in fantasy is allowed. It's like it's forbidden. It's too old school to talk about runs and RBIs. But if he had done like 80 or 90 of either in either category, I think he'd be valued a little bit more going in. People want to see those counting stats go up. So hopefully the Rangers can kick it up a gear this year.
Yeah. Yeah. Rangers as a whole had a down year. Yep. Last year, it was kind of like, you know, maybe some World Series hangover. I don't know what it was, but kind of like Atlanta, they had, you know, that phenomenal year. Then they had that down year too. So, yeah, I think Texas will be better as a whole this year if they can keep everybody healthy, you know, Seager, etc. So, yeah, I'm still very much, you know, all in on Wyatt Langford. But now let's get to Max Clark. I wanted to get your thoughts since you had Max Clark number 10 overall. In your dynasty ranks. I already kind of talked about him a good bit in my prospect version of this position last week. So I wanted to give you the floor here. So, I mean, obviously this position is loaded and Clark is a phenomenal talent, but what have you seen from Max Clark that made you confident putting him as highly as you already have him in dynasty rankings?
So he's doing what I wanted him to do. Like, the only question mark was power, and he just ripped. Again, it's not necessarily about like what he is as a finished product, right? Like, if he's – so last year in, you know, MLB, he hit 14 home runs. It's excellent. It's okay. That's like not – it's not great if that's where he ends up, a 14 home run hitter. But he went up from, you know, 9 the year before, and then what was it, 2 the year before that. Like, this has been something he's been working on. I think it's a progression. I don't know where he's going to end up. I just see a Trea Turner kind of profile here. And so – What's that means? If I believe that, if I believe that's what he's going to be doing at the MLB level, possibly as soon as later this year, we'll see what happens, how he does. But I think this is someone who's going to give you like a really elite hit tool, get on base a ton, like 400 OBP. I can't look at that's pretty crazy. But he's got some crazy numbers in the minors there. But he finally started putting some things together. And again, he's not even really flashing this unbelievable speed he has either. He's really efficient. Like he's stealing, 29 bases, caught stealing four times. Yeah, 19 bases, or what do you got here? 19 bases got caught stealing twice. Like these are, I love looking at efficiency from the minor leaguers because
100%.
Got some guys like McGonagall and Roman Anthony, as we just talked about, their numbers are okay when they're coming up. And then I guess something I'm concerned about K-Mac, it's like he's not efficient. If he gets caught all the time at MLB level against better competition, he's not going to get that green light. Max Clark will get the green light whenever he wants. I guess we got to see if he wants to steal. But if he does, it's like 30, 40, maybe he's got 50 stolen base potential. It depends on how, if he wants to do what the team's philosophy is, but he's going to probably do at least 30, which means he just needs to get to 20 home runs to be like a 20-30 with elite ratios. And that puts him in a dynasty top 10 for outfield, as far as I can tell. And he's proximal enough. It could be this year, like I said.
Yeah, no, I think that's going to be a really fun 1-2 in the lineup with him and Kevin McGonagall in next year or two. Hitting in front of their big boppers, and Green and Carpenter and all them, and Torkelson too. So yeah, Clark gives me, and it's not a direct comp because this is a very lofty comp, but like maybe like a slightly scaled back Corbin Carroll, where it's 20 plus, 30 plus, a crap ton of runs scored, and probably even a good amount of RBIs as well, like. This a guy that's giving you good to great, really everywhere. High average. He's super high contact rate guy. Walked more than he struck out. OBP is going to be there. This guy, his motor is always running. He's a high motor guy, phenomenal athlete. Just eats, sleeps, and breathes baseball. So yeah, I'm very high on Max Clark. Just a really loaded position. So it's really fun to see you have him 10th overall already. But yeah, I'm. The sky's the limit with Max Clark. I think he's going to be a really fun player for a really long time, making that nice 1-2 duo with him and Kevin McGonagall. All right, let's move into the next set of 10 here. We're going 11 through 20. I'll go first this time. 11 through 20 for me is Jackson Churio, Yordan Alvarez, Pete Crow Armstrong, Jaron Duran, and Jackson Merrill at 15. 16 through 20, got Riley Green, Brent Rooker, O'Neill Cruz, Cody Bellinger, and Randy Arozarena. Who do you got 11 through 20 in your ranking stock?
All right, and this is how I got to Max at 10 because I just thought, would I trade him for any of these guys? And I came to the conclusion of no in a dynasty. So Jackson Churio at 11, Kyle Schwarber at 12, Jaron Duran at 13, Randy Arozarena at 14, Yordan Alvarez, if you only were healthy, 15. James Wood at 16. Brent Rooker, 17. Cody Bellinger, 18. Riley Green, 19. And Kyle Stowers at 20.
Yeah, it's Kyle Stowers. Nice little breakout there. I have him he's 22 in mine. So just outside of my top 20. And I would have, I just have Schwarber as UT on my sheet, but he would be, let me see here. If I add in Kyle Schwarber, I think he'd be like what, 11 or 12?
He's really league dependent, right?
Yeah, like OBP obviously gets a huge bump in OBP formats. He's right between Merrill and Green in my rankings, so he'd be 16 here. So, he's definitely, I wish the Red Sox got him. I love Kyle Schwarber, and he's a New England guy too, so that would have been fun. But let's start with the guy that we both have. Both of us had him at number 11. That's Jackson Churio. I feel like it's like a similar situation and discussion as the one we just had with Wyatt Langford, where first two seasons have been good, and Churio's been a little bit better on the surface, maybe not quite as good under the hood, but starting off his career as a 20, 21-year-old with two straight 2020 seasons, very eerily similar overall production from Churio in his first two seasons. He had 80 runs, 79 RBI, 21 home runs, 22 steals, 275, 327, 464 in his rookie year. then 88 runs, 78 RBI, 21 home runs, 21 steals, got caught seven times in both seasons, had three hit by pitch in both seasons, 121 strikeouts in both seasons, four triples in both seasons. It's like only three hits apart. It's a super, super similar. 270, 308, 463 slash line. But I feel like similarly to Langford, I think maybe it's slightly underwhelming. Again, still very good, very young. But I feel like maybe in that second season, at least, maybe people are thinking, oh, maybe he's 25 plus. So same question for Jackson Chourio here, who's still only 21 years old. But I think he'll be 22 fairly soon. Do you think he can take that next step and join like the super elite rankings? Or do you think, maybe he's just a guy that's, in this, 10 to 15 range, which is still, again, very good. But what do you think for Chourio long term?
Yeah, he's going to be 22 next month for everyone's reference, but that's still very young. He's a guy who I don't think his hit tool's quite as good. When I say hit tool, it's almost, I do think we should have an eye tool or, some kind of OBP specific tool, because he doesn't really take a lot of walks, but he makes a lot of contact. So it balances out. Again, BA batting average only leagues, maybe different story. I'm not sure how bad of an OBP it's going to be. It's not horrific, but he's a work in progress. He's so young. And obviously he's doing, like, the fact that he's got 270 plus batting averages in his first two seasons as really a kid. Like, if he was in double A right now, he'd be young for the level.
Yep.
That's crazy. So I got to give him some respect. I do wonder though. So the reason, so you'd maybe ask yourself, why have Max Clark ahead of him? He's like almost the same age, while he's still at double A, about to be at triple A. Well, I just think that Chourio's upside compared to Langford and Clark, it's going to be a little bit more limited. I don't think he's ever a 350 plus OBP guy. I don't think he ever just learns how to just like change his entire approach. I don't think he needs to either. I think he still can be really good here. I think this is like still kind of a tier of like, he could go 30 and 30 one day. But maybe it's like, 270, 280, which is really cool. And then like 320 kind of OBP. Again, amazing. He's like, it's a good profile, but I think some of the upside for the other guys could be 350 or higher OBPs. And as you can see, that's kind of something I'm biased toward. But I think the sky's the limit here. And so if people are maybe starting to think, oh, he's not going 40-40 like I thought. I think a lot of people thought he was going to immediately be doing Ronald Acuna peak things, right? Based on how young he was and what he was doing originally. So if anyone's a little bit fatigued, maybe it's time to check the price tag on Jackson Chourio.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit lower, I think, on Chourio than most. Though I still think he's a great talent and everything, but I've always kind of been like more Langford over Chourio, even when that wasn't super popular. And even now, I don't think I think I might have put a poll out. I'm actually trying to pull it up right now. From the Toolshed Pod Twitter account between these two. I feel like I did. Let me scroll real quick if I can find it. Maybe I didn't. Maybe I'm just imagining that I did. But
I'll pour more whiskey while you look it up. Everyone can listen to me pour whiskey. Ready?
Look at that. Good.
Did you get that audio?
I heard it. That's a good solid pour right there. No doubt about it. I thought I put out a poll. Maybe I just imagined it or something. But I feel like if I had put out a poll, I think it might still be like a 55-45 split to the Chourio as opposed to Langford. But
every year I get people messaging me, dude, Langford's so disappointing. I'm like, I don't know what you want from a 23-year-old. I'm sorry. Like,
right. Yeah, I know, right? Sorry, bro. These guys are still super young, and Chourio even younger, like you mentioned. He's the age of most guys that are like in high A, double A right now. But even if he is what he is now, I mean, that's still really good. And I absolutely believe he could take that next step. Though, the aggression does limit him. I feel like if he learned a little more patience, I think that could solve a lot of his problems. Maybe he, the good quality of contact take that next step, and he'd be like a 12% barrel rate and 48% hard hit rate, stuff like that. But he's just very, very aggressive. So maybe he has a few more weak hit balls. He chases a little too much. So I think toning it down a little bit would be huge for him, because I think the upside to go 25 to 30 in each is absolutely there. He's a phenomenal runner, 93rd percentile sprint speed. But even if he's just like 20 to 25 and giving you 80 to 90 runs, 270 average, that's still really, really good. So I felt pretty good, ranking him where I did, because he has the upside to move up a few spots. Maybe he moves down a few spots. Some of the younger guys overtake him. But I feel good at him as like a back end outfield one for your dynasty team, or a high end outfield two if you want to, you know, kind of double up early on outfielders. So yeah, he's obviously phenomenal talent, very young. We'll see if he can take that next step.
Why choose a Sleep Number smart bed?
Can I make my site softer?
Can I make my site firmer?
Can we sleep cooler?
Sleep Number does that. Cools up to 8 times faster and lets you choose your ideal comfort on either side, your Sleep Number setting. Enjoy personalized comfort for better sleep night after night. And now, during our President's Day sale, take 50% off our limited edition bed. Shop now for a limited time. Only at a Sleep Number store or sleepnumber.com.
Another young outfielder here, a couple years older though, who is very, very large human being. 6'7", James Wood, built like a NBA power forward or an outside linebacker in the NFL. You know, really good overall year. Like you look at the 31 home runs, 15 steals, a 350 OBP, 87 runs. Like, all right, that was a really good year. But then you look at the first half, second half splits, where he hit 278, 381, 534 before the All-Star break, 223, 301, 388 after the All-Star break. He had 105 strikeouts after the All-Star break. I don't know who was second in that, post All-Star break strikeout leaderboard for hitters, but I'm sure it wasn't anywhere as close to James Wood. 105 and 269 strikeouts. That's, I think, quick math, like 38 or something percent, which is ridiculous. Overall strikeout rate last year was 32.1%. He led baseball in strikeouts by like 15 or 16. I think he had 221 strikeouts. Walks a good bit, 12% walk rate, great quality of contact, he's a good athlete. So there's a lot of good there, but then there's that one major red flag. So how worried are you about that major red flag in that strikeout rate? And just what do you think about James Wood long-term here, Doc?
That was some good estimation there with the strikeout rate. He had a 39% strikeout rate in the second half. Good guess. I'm pretty high on him. You're way higher than I am, but I have him wedged between these two guys. I got Wood at 16 between Yordan Alvarez at 15, who's like an MVP candidate if he can just stay on the field, and then Brent Rooker at 17, who's really good. In fact, had like an underrated season. He was still really good. So, I'm still clearly high on the guy because he just makes such great contact. And again, you have to just keep thinking – you have to consider age. So he's actually a 22-year-old for most of last year. The one thing that's keeping him like out of the conversation with the other guys we were just talking about is, he's currently stealing 14 or 15 bags, but he's getting caught stealing a lot. And I don't really know if the Nats care right now, but eventually I'm sure they plan on competing. When that day comes, I can't imagine this monster is going to be really as nimble. I think there's going to be some weight coming on, which is kind of scary in a good way, because you might get more power, right? You might get more old man strength. So that's why I have him up high. It's I'm actually completely assuming the stolen bases are going to go. The strikeouts are a risk. I'm chalking it more up to a playing a full MLB season, being 22 years old. I'm willing to give the kid some grace because despite such an awful second half, he already mashed 31 home runs and stole 15 bases. So, I think the future is bright. And again, and he's not like Churio. He's willing to take a walk. So this is a guy who, maybe his batting average won't be that high. That's okay. I think he could be maybe a Rooker type one day, but then again, maybe more.
People, and I even talked about it too. Like, people love looking at that second half, and they should. I mean, it was a concern, but look at the first half as well. I mean, I can kind of flip it and be like, look what he did in the first half, which is the reason why he still had a really good all around season, because he was so darn good in the first half. Like, he was on, probably right around like a 35, 16-17 pace in the first half with 381 OBP. So, he needs to adjust. Pitchers already adjusted to him. We saw that in the second half. Now he needs to adjust back. Will the K rate always be higher? Probably. But if he can just keep it like 30% or less, just don't let it balloon to 38% over a full year. That would be terrible. Mm-hmm. That'd be Joey Gallo. but just keep it relatively in check because the quality of contact is so good. I mean, I think he could legit be a 40 homer guy, which is also another thing that he hit 31 home runs with all those strikeouts and having just crap angles, like high ground ball rate, like low pull rate. Like you look at his batted ball angles and they suck. Like this, there's no eloquent way of saying it. They were not good, but he still had 31 home runs. You know, just because he hits the ball so hard. Like he is, you know, among probably one of the 5 to 10 strongest guys in this game already. And yeah, even if he adds a little bit more bulk, I mean, man, that'd be really scary. So I think 40 home runs is in there. I mean, I think he could be a guy that gives you 100 runs, 100 RBI, and maybe he's more 10 steals than 20 long term. But yeah, I still think there's a lot of good here. And if he does, you know, make a little bit more contact and like make some of those adjustments we were just talking about to the concerns, man, watch out. I mean, he could be a top 10 overall player. He's shown that he has that upside. So I guess kind of why I still have him so highly. But I do want to see those adjustments happen. If we come out and he's got like a 36% K rate in the end of May, all right, then I'm more concerned and I'm probably dropping him down my rankings a little bit there.
Then he's Chris Carter.
Yeah. Yeah. come out and show me that you can make that adjustment, James Wood. That's what I'm really looking to see from you. Are you going to be that first half stud or closer to that second half guy that was just swinging at absolutely everything? So we'll see. It'll be fun to see how he opens the season. But shifting over now to another NL East guy that had that was not a super highly ranked prospect. He was kind of like a fringe top 100 guy for the most part, but had a nice breakout season, though it did end early due to injury. But Kyle Stowers had a nice, you know, age 28 breakout, hit 288, 368, 544 in 457 plate appearances with 25 home runs and some pretty snappy looking quality of contact metrics. But another guy that has, you know, kind of a little bit of a swing and miss problem, a little bit of a lower contact rate, but you know, he was up there among the league leaders with 19% barrel rate, 52% hard hit rate, and another guy that walks a decent bit too. So, I mean, obviously, given where you have him ranked, I think you're, you know, fairly in on Stowers. But you know, how much of that breakout are you believing in? Do you think he can take an even bigger step next year? And kind of what do you see from Stowers here moving forward?
Yeah, I was like every so often on X, I'd be like, hey, guys, no, but he's still doing it. Hey, guys. And then right,
we all thought he was going to stop. I was like, this is fun. Like, oh, no, he's still doing it. Oh, no, he's still doing it. Yeah, 100%.
But then there was that one slump. There was like a month slump. Maybe it was a few weeks. It was a month, a few weeks or a month. And everyone, and then they all said, yes, we knew it. And then I said, I was literally like 1 week or two away from like I had to in one shallow league. I was like, yeah, 12 man, you know, I'm like, and then and in fact, and this is how I know it was bad in NFBC TGFBI. He hit the waivers.
Oh, wow.
And
yeah.
Right before he bounced back, I picked him up for like cheap. And I mean, whatever would be cheap. You shouldn't be able to get him off waivers, but right. You could spend 300. So it's cheap. And then he just crushed it the rest of the season. Yeah, man. Like this is a guy who really broke out, and he was going to hit 30 home runs or more probably. He only played 117 games due to that, you know, late season injury. And here's the deal, right? He's not your typical hack and slasher. He almost is, but then he walks. He walks a bunch. So he's making an amazing contact. You know, everything's bright red. Of course, you don't like his whiffs. You don't like his strikeouts. He doesn't really chase that much, though, which is nice. It's funny. He wasn't really squaring up the ball properly, which is like, again, like, well, maybe there's room for improvement, too. Again, it's kind of funny how it worked out because he was always like he wasn't even the third fiddle. He was like the eighth fiddle, ninth, tenth fiddle in the Orioles once stacked prospect pipeline there. And now he got traded to the Marlins, as we all predicted, he would break out. You know, it's just like baseball's such a funny sport. That's right. Where it happens. So yeah, I just think that walk rate and him, he's got just enough. I don't think it's a perfect profile, but I think he's doing just enough. I mean, you look at his Savant page, they're not really thinking that the 288 is going to hold up as a batting average, but they do believe that the OBP. Looks like it could be north of 350. So it'll be interesting to see what happens going forward. If he can stay healthy, yeah, he could be like a routine 30 home run guy, and he's still relatively young. How old is he actually? It was a late breakout. He just turned 28, so he'll play the whole season as a 28-year-old. He's still pretty young.
Yeah, that's still fairly young for sure. And who would have thought like Kyle Stowers would be the one that would break out like this? Like, I think he's doing what we all hoped Kobe Mayo was going to do.
And that's insane. He did a pull like that last year, and people still weren't believing. They still said, "Nope, Mayo."
Right. Okay. Yeah. But now everyone would be picking Kyle Stowers, obviously, rightfully so. But I don't think he's 288 hitter moving forward. I think maybe he's more like 260, but that's still fine in this day and age. 260 is actually pretty decent in today's game, where not many hitters hit 300 anymore. So, but if he's 260 with like a 340, 350 OBP, and 30 to, I think he's like low 30s home run guy. I don't think 40, but you can see 30, 35 home runs, like 90 to 100 RBI, 70 to 80 runs. And he's not going to give you really much in the stolen base department outside of maybe a handful. He did have five last year, but he'd never been a big speed guy, so probably only a handful of steals every year. But I think he could be a pretty good, outfield two, outfield three type for your fantasy team. And, maybe he's never a top 50 guy, but maybe he's like a top 75 to top 90 guy or something like that. That's kind of where I think Kyle Stowers. So, I'm buying it. Again, maybe a little bit of regression in the average department, but I think there's the opportunity for more power as well. So, mostly believing in Kyle Stowers. I'll say mostly believing in Kyle Stowers.
I got the receipts here real quick. I'm looking at I'm typing Stowers into my feed.
Yeah.
And it is July 13th. I said, is there a more underrated player in baseball than Marlins Kyle Stowers? He's currently owned 52% owned in Yahoo leagues. And that was when he'd already hit 19 homers. Like, it took a while. And then the poll was in May, and it was 50% Stowers, 50% Mayo. So I don't think I have to do that poll again. I think we know what's going on.
Yeah, I think we do. Yeah, he had that huge July, 10 home runs in July with a 364, 451, 818 slash line. Did slump a little bit in September, end of season, but whatever. That's still really fun. 10 home runs of the month is really, really fun. All right, let's moving into the last set of 10 here, our 21 through 30 ranked outfielders in our dynasty ranks. Doc, who do you got in these slots?
Oh, man, I just fought off a burp. It's okay. We're feeling good. I got going back to the prospects at 21 with Walker Jenkins, then Joshua Baez, Pete Crow Armstrong. It sounds wacky to say, but I'll tell you why. George Springer, Tyler Soderstrom, Christian Yelich, Addison Barger, Jack Kags, Jason Dominguez, and O'Neill Cruz.
Good old O'Neill Cruz. That's a good name to end it on there. My 21 through 30, I have Tyler Soderstrom, Kyle Stowers, Walker Jenkins, Max Clark, Dylan Beavers, Eduardo Quintero. So, yes, I got some prospects in this range too. He's at 26. Josue De Paula, Andy Páez. That's three Dodgers in a row. That's fun. Michael Harris, the second, 29. And I have Seiya Suzuki rounding out my top 30. Let's start right with Pete Crow Armstrong. Had a massive breakout year, 31 home runs, 35 steals, 91 RBI, and 95 runs scored. So huge contributions there in those four categories. Gotta love it. Then you look at the average OBP and see some of the underlying metrics, and you get concerned. He does not walk whatsoever, 4.5% walk rate, though he keeps the K rate in check, 24%, nothing bad there. Zone contact was right around league average, a bit below league average whiff rate, or worse than league average whiff rate, I should say. But a lot of the issues stem from his massive chase rate, over 41% each of the last 2 years, one of the highest marks in the league, up there with Rafaela and Yainer Diaz and a few other names that are of that 40%+ chase rate club. Not a great club to be in, but he's a phenomenal athlete, phenomenal defender, so that helps keep him in the lineup even when he is slumping. The angles are really, really good, which helps maximize his decent but not like great power. So Pete Armstrong, Doc, what are you making of all the pros and cons here in the profile?
Oh man! First of all, I want to point out, I don't think either of us had Byron Buxton on there. Huh? We're both.
He's 30. What was he? 31 or 32 for me?
He's
literally my next one.
It was 31. So hard though, because I'm like, it was amazing. It could happen. I still can't believe it. And it's interesting. I had a couple of your guys just on the outside, but PCA, I was, I don't like to be a hater too often. I feel less bad hating on him because I know he would just like swear at me and punch me in the face or something. Like he wouldn't be sad, you know, he'd be like, right. Yeah, he'd just be like, go screw yourself. I was kind of like not in on the profile. Again, I've reiterated this throughout the episode. I'm just like an OBP, you know, take a walk kind of guy. And he is the last guy to do that. And so I'm looking over here and I'm thinking 31-35. That's 31 homers, 35 stolen bases. You know, his kid's like, he was crushing baseballs. He had that electric first half. It seems like pitchers started figuring him out in the second. It does feel to me a little bit different than James Wood, given just like the overly unbelievably aggressive, not taking a walk at all profile. I just wonder if this is like the best kind of season that you're going to get from PCA. And he's still like, or let's just say this, it's an amazing season, period. With the counting stats, 31-35. But if things are going really well and he's still got a 287 OBP, like what's the floor? And I was saying it the whole time because like when he was crushing it before the slump, he was still like a 301 OBP or something like that. Like the peak of his MVP talk that was once going on. And I just like, I don't know if this is the peak. I don't know. What's the valley? Doesn't seem good. So again, this is depending on your format. If you're a batting average only league, you don't care. Like I don't know. Is he a top five overall player still? Like overall, like in a batting average league, maybe because he's a pretty young guy. Maybe he hits 40-40. I just wonder. Like again, is this OBP going to cost him stolen bags? Is his OBP going to eventually? I mean. He plays such amazing defense in center field. He'll probably just always be around as this weird fantasy player. But he would have to, from what I can tell, he'd have to decide this extremely aggressive player, this extremely aggressive human being, will have to make a conscious decision to change his game pretty radically for him to start taking walks and not swing so much. So I don't know if he's got it in him, and I'm a little lower on him. He's still, you got to give him credit. So he's in there for me, but I don't have him in the top 20.
You know, it's funny. I was looking at his monthly splits. He never had more than five walks in a month last year. It was 3-3-5-4-5-5-4. Like, it's funny. Like, didn't Ohtani have five walks in that game where he was like, you know, on base nine times and two home runs? I think he had five walks in that game alone, or maybe it was four walks. I can't remember. But the fact that, you know, five walks, never more than five walks in a month. I mean, you look at the batting average was all over the place month to month last year. 312, 269, 240, 308, 160, and then 224. So, and that's what happens when you have these super high chase rate guys. We start with Rafaela, too, where they'll look like an absolute stud for a month, and then you'll be wanting to bench them for a month. That's what happened in August when he hit 160 in 112 plate appearances with one home run and five RBIs. So, yeah, he's interesting because there's still some good there. And I mentioned, you know, he's a great athlete, defender, batted ball angles, etc. But yeah, this that he's so inconsistent that it's maddening. And I have him in my home keeper league.
Okay.
And I hope none of my buddies, I'm trying to like trade him before our draft coming up. I haven't got any takers yet. So hopefully none of my buddies are listening to this podcast. But if you are from my home league and you're listening, PCA is going to go 60-60 this year.
Oh, yeah. So.
Yeah, that's where I'm at on PCA. But yeah, no, he's really talented, but these profiles are just so maddening given the inconsistencies. But yeah, you know, I think he can still put up some good counting stats, but it's just gonna be really hard to roster him month to month. He's gonna be super streaky, and I don't know if I ever see that changing. But you know, maybe end of the year, look at the stat line, and probably pretty good for the most part. But OBP format definitely a little bit of a tick down in those formats for sure. Really fun player, but. Next up on the list here, one of the most hyped guys of the last, you know, most hyped prospects of the last 10 years, Jason Dominguez. Hasn't quite worked out yet, but hasn't really fully gotten a legitimate shot yet to stick with the Yankees. And I also wanted, even though we didn't have him, either of us in our top 30, I wanted to loop in like Dylan Cruz here. They've kind of been like on a similar timeline in their major league career, though obviously one came from college, one came from international, but you know, kind of both been, you know, top prospects at the same time. So I wanted to loop Cruz in as well. You know, Dominguez last year, 257, 331, 388, 10 home runs, 23 steals, in 429 plate appearances. Dylan Cruz, 208, 280, 352, 10 home runs, 17 steals in 322 plate appearances. So not great results on the surface for these two guys yet, but would you be looking to buy either Dominguez or Cruz in a dynasty league right now, Doc?
Yeah, no, I was recommending Dominguez last year as a good buy low, and, you know, some people thought it was – I mean, here's the thing, 257, 331, like, you know, those that's fine for a 22-year-old. When did he turn 22? I don't even know, but he's a – you know, he's a young kid. He gave us 23 stolen bases. The 10 home runs are underwhelming, but again, that's he played 429 plate appearances. So this is not even a full season. You prorate what he's already doing, it's like there's at least 15 to 20 home run power and 30 plus stolen bags with good ratios. And the ratios will probably get better the more older he gets, the more experience he gets, the more action he gets. I just think it's a slow roll. It's a little bit like Langford, not as nice, not that 20 home run pop yet, but it's a little bit like Langford. It's like, this is fine. This is fine. It's because he's a Yankee. It's funny. This is like the one time where being a Yankee is actually like devaluing you a little bit because they're so impatient. They demand results immediately. So in this circumstance, could cost him a little bit. And Dylan Cruz, just in my opinion, he's got time. But it's not looking great. He's kind of just looking super mid. Like maybe, I hate to say it, but just maybe like it's just a defensive specialist. Maybe he's stealing quite a bit. You know, I guess, you know, he didn't play a full season last year either, in all fairness. I'm seeing that here. I don't know. The metrics aren't there. I think there's time. I don't know what he's going to be, as you can tell by the one time I've been wishy-washy in this whole podcast, but. Yeah, it's a little bit tricky to determine him, but I like what I see better with Dominguez. I just see this better profile, safer profile, a more natural hitter, whereas it seems like Cruz is taking a while to figure out the big leagues. The nice thing is, there's something there long term. He's got that juice, got those counting stats, but what I was trying not to say is his major league career in jeopardy. But if you keep going 200 and then sub 200, sub 300 with your OBP, it's going to be tough to be more than a utility guy.
Yeah, it definitely hasn't been good for him so far. But, you know, Cruz, like, the metrics are okay. There's no, like, metrics that stand out in a good way or a bad way, really. They're all just kind of middle of the road for the most part. I mean, he has a good sprint speed. You mentioned he's a good defender, and decent bat speed. You know, quality of contact is a tick above, a hair above major league average. Walk and strikeout rates, you know, are okay. Contact rates are okay. It's just a lot of okay right now. And it's funny, one of the similar guys to him and the quality of contact is Jason Dominguez. So it's funny, looping them together once again. But yeah, I think Cruz could be, I think he could flirt 2020. If he had a 2020 year, you know, even this year, it wouldn't surprise me. But you got to wonder, is it just, you know, is he like a poor man's Randy Arozarena? I mean, Arozarena has been like, you know, 2020 guy with an okay, you know, middle of the road average. Is Cruz just like a little bit less than that? Like, that's still fine. It's still, you know, I think he'll still be fantasy relevant, but, you know, I no longer think that Cruz will be like a top 50 player or for fantasy or anything like that. So, but with Dominguez, I mean, maybe the floor could be a little bit lower, but I think the upside is higher, you know, especially if he figures out how to, you know, really hit in that home ballpark. I think he could be, you know, really exciting. I mean, there's still a 20-plus homer pop there with a good ballpark, but he hits too many balls on the ground, isn't really leaning into that pull power that he showed in flashes in the minor league, so kind of still waiting to see on that. But, you know, and he's still running a lot. Like, this is a guy that I didn't think was going to run a lot. He didn't look like a guy that was going to be a big base stealer, but he just keeps running and running and running. So 20-30 is absolutely in play, you know. How many plate appearances does he get with the Yankees this year? I don't know. Bellinger's back in the mix. Grisham broke out. Obviously, you know, that Aaron Judge fellow is out there. Stanton will be DHing a bit too until he gets hurt. So, got to wonder if he's, again, in like that 450 to 500 plate appearance range. But, you know, I would be okay buying each of these guys. But at the same time, I'm not quite as, you know, high on their long-term outlook as I once was. So, I think they're both fine. They're both solid. A little bit more upside for Dominguez, but I'm not like rushing out to get either of these guys either. I'll just say that. But the last guy here, before we get into our bye to close out the show, O'Neal Cruz. We both had him right in inside our top 30. You had him to end your top 30, and I have a hard time ranking O'Neal Cruz. I really do. Like, I never, no matter if I put him higher or lower, I never like it. So it's just a hard profile. It's so, like, the pros and cons are so profound with O'Neal Cruz. He's either really, really good at something or really, really bad. There's not a lot of in the middle. I mean, quality of contact among the best in baseball, 18% barrel rate, 56.5% hard hit rate, 95.8 mile an hour average EV. Now, he's a 93rd percentile runner. He has a cannon for an arm. He actually walks a good bit, but then contact is terrible. Strikeout rate above 30% each of the last 2 years. You know, XBA 218. He hit 200 on the nose with a 298 OBP last year. So, I mean, 20 home runs, 38 steals is still pretty damn good, but I don't know. It's just so many good and bad things here in this profile. It's hard to, like, kind of take them all in and formulate, you know, where you want to put him in a ranking. So what are your thoughts here on the always polarizing O'Neal Cruz, Doc?
Man, when I saw him in Indy, like with the Indianapolis Indians, I thought something was wrong. I was like, what's wrong? Who they got on second next to him? That guy's got to be 4-1. You know, like, it just right. Looks so funny. But the and I thought he was going to be the Cruz, the winner of the Ellie versus O'Neal. If I got to meet them both, maybe I would have figured that out, because it seems like Ellie's a really nice guy with good character. And I don't know about O'Neal Cruz and his brain, man. And he probably wouldn't like me saying that to his face, but I'm just going to say it how it is. Like, he's just not displaying a lot of good baseball character. Some of his antics or you know, lack of effort out there on the diamond, it's like, that's career-ending stuff. That's cancerous, right? Like, it's serious. Like, people, it can completely deflate a team. If he was on a contender, I mean, I don't know, what would they have done? Send him, like, does he have options, right? Like, they would have done something really bad where he was, he was with the Pirates. And so they just let it roll, I guess. And even then, I'm pretty sure they were pissed off. But this is the thing, right? This guy, to me, seemed like he kind of checked out and wasn't fully focused this last year and still gave us 20 home runs and 38 stolen bases, right? So there's actually an argument. Yeah, he might actually, and only in 544 plate appearances. So he actually might have more raw talent than Ellie De La Cruz. You look at his Savant page, it's so freaky, right? Again, it seems like he's barely paying attention half the time, barely caring, and he's just got the best bat speed in the league, the best exit velos in the league. He's so fast. He's just an unbelievable athlete. So we'll see. He's 27 now, so he's not exactly a kid anymore. Still very young, though. But in this case, I'd say I'm more concerned about, okay, 27, but now you're mentally, you need to start growing up. Mentally, you got to get there, because your physical skills are there. And if he just tries a little more, if he just gets a little bit more focused, I don't know what it's going to take, but obviously there's an insane upside here of like 40 home runs and like 70 stolen. It's like a cartoonish fantasy MVP profile here, but I have him at number 30 because so far the red flags are serious. And if this team starts getting serious and trying to make a playoff run and he's just goofing around, not chasing down balls, he's just not even going to play baseball. Like, they're going to trade him or something like that.
Yeah, the fact that he's gone, you know, 20, 38 last year, 21, 22 year before that, while having all these major red flags, it's still really impressive. But, yeah, it's, you know, and he's still, you know, this is only, you know, he's only had two full seasons, you know, these past 2 years. So you got to wonder, like, you know, he's still young enough to make the adjustments, but, you know, he's been this way for a long time now. I mean, he's not 22, he's 27, which, again, is still young, but, you know, he's been this way for a minute now. So you got to wonder at this point, I'm like, is this just what he is? Is he going to be a guy that, you know, looks like a fantasy first rounder 1 month and then a guy that needs to be on the waiver wire the next month? Maybe that's just what he is at this point. But, yeah, I'd be really fun to see if he ever does put it all together and just, you know, goes back to, I mean, he hit 259 in 2024. If he can just get 240, 250 again, I mean, could he do 30-50 this upcoming year? I mean, he absolutely could. We'll see. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, he's one where it's just so hard to figure out where I want to rank him. And I feel like I might be a little too high on him right now. But the upside is a top 10 overall player if he ever puts it all together or even close to it. So, yeah, that's O'Neal Cruz in a nutshell right there. Let's close it out with our favorite buy, favorite dynasty buy at this outfield position. Now, who is that for you, Doc?
Oh gosh, yeah, I forgot about that. No, I had it in my head here. Why? Yeah, there's a couple here. I'm thinking Joshua Baez. But did you get into him on the prospect show?
Yeah, I did a bit. Yeah, he's really fun. I'm hoping the, you know, all the gains we saw, you know, contact way up, walk up, K right down. I hope those stick, because if those stick, he's going to be an absolute monster for fantasy.
Yeah, so I'll give you two guys, because I'll just do a summary, because he sounds like he already went into Baez. But essentially, his value is the only reason you can buy it now, and the only reason people aren't being super aggressive with his status is just that they're not sure if it's real or not, right? It's is he going to go back to the old ways or the new ways here? It seems like he made a substantial, like, intentional alteration in his approach and in his mechanics at the plate. So I'm buying. But then, again, you look at that profile, what he did last year, like 2050. It's like, okay. Right. Now, I think he's proximal too with St. Louis entering rebuild mode. But Tyler Soderstrom is kind of the other side of the spectrum here.
I love Soderstrom. Good pick.
Yeah. I think you've liked him before I had. Like, I kind of stumbled into him last year because he just was going at cheap values. And I'm like, we'll see what happens. And then I saw this. And then, what happened was actually, I remember what happened. Yeah, he crushed it the first, like, week. It was like 10 home runs. And I remember people, like, getting into debates online on the side of, like, no, he's guaranteed to hit 50 home runs. Look, it's obvious. Have you not seen his pace? He's already got 10. I'm like, it's baseball. You never know, man. And what do you know? He slowed down considerably. But it's funny. He slowed down with home runs, but he still hit still hit a ton. He actually was always steady pretty much. He had a really just, like, even-keeled 25 home run kind of year. And played some pretty good defense in the outfield. So it's a very strange outcome when we thought we were getting what Nick Kurtz was, right? That's what it seemed right. like for a second. But I think that's, there's some things to win there. We'll see if you can, I don't know if he can be a Nick Kurtz, but in that ballpark, and if he sticks around to the Vegas move, if that ever even happens, it's probably going to be a hitter friendly park. I think we're looking at a 25 plus home run per year kind of thing. And this was, like, you had Andy Pawhez on your list and Suzuki, and those guys were actually on my list when I first started writing it. And I looked through, I'm like, there's just so many of these guys, like Kerry Carpenter, right. There's all these 25-ish home run guys. Just yep. like, fine, Teo Oscar Hernandez. It's like, good. They're all the same guy. So I'm like, well, if you're going to be a top 30, you got to have a differentiator. His would be just youth. And so we'll see. Is he going to be a steady presence? Is he going to be like one of those guys? Hey, well, those guys are really good to have. So it's not like a bad outcome, but yep. given his youth and this lineup and the stadium, I think that Tyler Soderstrom, in living in the shadow of Nick Kurtz, same with Rooker, like, he's kind of gone under notice for a 30 home run season because Kurtz is such a beast. But, like, these guys could all be like it's not Twin Towers, it's the Tri Tower area. You know, these guys could be all just mashing 40 bombs, be insane.
Right.
So high on Soderstrom.
Yeah, no, I like that a lot. And admittedly, I was never, like, super high on him when he was, like, a prospect, but. You know, slowly but surely, every time I'd, like, kind of look into him, look at the profile, look at the metrics, and I was like, all right, I like him a little more every single time. And now I'm like, yeah, I'm definitely a Soderstrom guy. So I like that pick a lot. Yeah, I think he's a, you know, I think he's a 270, 30 home run guy that gives you a handful of steals and some solid run and RBI totals. So, yeah, I like him a lot. He's still only 24. He feels like he should be like 26, 27, but he's only 24 years old. So like that a lot. I'm going with a guy who I think – entering the season, there was a debate between, like, I saw a lot of discourse about who's better, Nick Kurtz or Jack Caglione. You know, now he's an outfielder, not a first baseman, but nobody's having that discussion now. But at the same time, I still think Jack's a good buy. I mean, he was terrible. There's no way to slice and dice it. He was not good. 232 plate appearances, 7 bombs, 157, 237, 295 slash line. You know, but the thing with Jack, it really boils down to one issue, and this has been the issue for a long time. So there was a little bit of hesitancy on my part to recommend him as a buy because he's always had the super high chase rate. That was his issue when he was, you know, in the minors, when he was at the University of Florida, everywhere. He's always been a guy that was hyper aggressive, but that's, at the same time, the contact rates have always been pretty good, even last year. He had an 85% zone contact rate for a guy that hit well under 200. That just shows you, like, all right, this guy does put the bat on the ball. It's just the super high chase rate is what gets him, 38, almost 39% chase rate. And he only struck out right around a league average 22.5%. There's massive, massive raw power. I mean, the quality of contact was good but not great with Kansas City, but that's really limited by his aggressiveness. If he were to just show a little more patience, I mean, there's 40 home run power here without question. And they're moving in the fences in Kansas City as well. Like, I think he could be like a 250, 260 guy that hits 40 home runs. I still think that guy is in their hoof to make the adjustments and be a little bit more, you know, patient and wait for those pitches he can do damage on. But that guy is still in there. And I think just given where the perceived value is on Jack, given the terrible slash line from his rookie year, I think the perceived value has dropped enough that he's now a pretty good buy, that you won't have to pay a lot to get a Caglione. If it doesn't work out, you probably won't be too pissed about it. It does work out, man, you got yourself a slugger for the next decade plus. So I like Jack Caglione as my breakout, and with you, Tyler Soderstrom. So two really good names there. But that will wrap us up. Doc, always a pleasure talking to you, man. It's always a good time when we hash it up and talk baseball. What do you got to say to the people here before we get out of here?
Oh, man, that this era Cross Guy runs one heck of a show. It's a fine establishment. You know, the it's got good whiskey. Actually, I guess I brought the whiskey. Okay, well, it was a lot of fun either way, folks. And, yeah, you can find me out there on the X at Doc Eisenhower. I do some work with Prospects Live and Data Warehouse, and I guess technically Scout the Stat Line. I don't really do anything for them, but anyway, it's a whole thing. But had a lot of fun. Thanks for listening. And, yeah, I'd love to do it again sometime, brother.
Absolutely. We'll have to have you on again soon. Everyone, check out Doc's stuff. Really knowledgeable guy. Check out all my stuff on my Patreon. I got all my rankings updated on there. Going through my team prospect rankings now and some redraft stuff as well. A lot of fun stuff. Baseball season is coming. Pitchers and catchers are like, what, a week away? We're almost there, folks. And I'll be back with you again later on this week to start the pitching position. But until then, everyone take care.
If you're the purchasing manager at a manufacturing plant, you know having a trusted partner makes all the difference. That's why, hands down, you count on Grainger for auto reordering. With on-time restocks, your team will have the cut-resistant gloves they need at the start of their shift. And you can end your day knowing they've got safety well in hand. Call 1-800-GRAINGER, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.